Here's some words to live by for those in the eye of a storm.
In your life right now, you're going through tough times. You're struggling. You may be still a little bit more of a con man than somebody who God is ruling over. And yet he goes, I'm your God. I'm not just the God of Israel. I'm the God of Jacob too. And God may be using the storms in your life to change you from Jacob to Israel. But he goes, don't worry. I'm there with you. I'm your refuge. I'm protecting you along the way with everything that I'm doing in your life. He offers us the opportunity as we draw close to him to be in the middle, all around us, problems, things falling apart. And there we are in the eye of the storm, safe with the God who loves us, with the one who died for us.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
June 1st and November 30th is the Atlantic hurricane season. And it's not uncommon for many in the southeast to watch the forecast looking for the next storm to come their way. Perhaps your life is being hit with a storm right now. Today on The Balanced Word, we learn how to live in the eye of the storm as we return to Psalm 46. Welcome to the program. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe with this biblical encouragement for suffering saints.
Then he says, after discussing all this, he goes in verse 10, so here's your part. Okay, all this is what God's going to do. Here's what you do. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still. That word means literally comes from a root that means to drop your guard, to drop your hands, put your hands to your side. It also sometimes means just shut up, quit talking. There are some translations that have translated it, stop striving. See, when we see everything around us that's falling apart, we naturally want to fight against it. And so sometimes we put ourselves in the middle of the storm because we think this is our only chance. But God says, since I'm the one that you can trust, since I'm the one who is taking care of you, why don't you stop fighting yourself long enough to understand who I am? Be still and know that I am God. Now, if he is God, it means we're not God. And that's important to understand. Oh, there are people today who want to believe that somehow they are God, but they aren't. He says, you know, yeah, if you think you're God, you better work hard. If you think you're going to become a God, better work at it. You got a lot of room to go. But if you understand that I'm God and you're not, then you realize not that much depends on you. There's a tremendous pressure that's lifted from our shoulders once we understand that God is God and we're not. Once we realize that, wow, you mean it's not, God's not depending on me? I'm not the one who's going to help deliver God from this mess that he got himself into. We so often, it's almost presented. And when you look at fundraising and people who are pushing for different causes and everything, you get the idea, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. But see, there's a great freedom in realizing I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to do it. Every time I see a problem, it doesn't mean that I am the solution. Now, if God lays it on my heart to be a part of that solution, great. And for every one of you, I would say that if God lays on your heart to do something and he calls you to do it, then great, do it. But if I look at all the needs that are in the world and all the needs that are in society and all the problems and all the bills and all the politicians and all the business problems and all this sort of thing, and I just decide that I'm going to do everything I can on all of these causes, I'll wear myself out. And I'll stress myself out, and I'll end up so often, as happens, looking like some kind of a wacko because I'm just into it more than I ought to be. I'm acting like I'm God, and I'm going to fix all these things, and I'm going to straighten the world out. Get this. Understand this. You're not God. And God isn't counting on you to come through for him. He wants you to live next to the river. He wants you to know there's a place of refreshment, and that's where you can be. The 23rd Psalm talks about our good shepherd, and he leads us beside still waters. You're in the rapids, Maybe you missed a turn somewhere. Maybe it's time to let go, because you can exhaust yourself doing what you think you need to do. And God is saying, just stop right now. Stop everything that you're doing. Stop all that you're committed to. Stop everything that you think requires all of your attention and work. And if you're working yourself too hard and you're wearing yourself out, be still. Knock it off. Yeah, there's more storms than you could ever fight. But I'm telling you, I'm God, and I'm going to take care of things for you. It's not your problem. It's not your burden. You stay close to me, and we will be here in the eye of the storm. And you can know peace even when everyone around you has no clue as to why you have peace. You'll have a peace that passes understanding, because you'll just be close to me. And being close to me is where I want you to live. You know, I suspect that 80% of the energy we put out is not for any effect at all. It's just wearing ourselves out and causing us to be ineffective in the things that God has called us to do. If you ever watch a fight, now, I tend to watch a lot of these ultimate fighting things, and it's not because I enjoy violence. I'm really researching it to see how bad it really is, but there were a couple of great fights last night, and that I'm very disturbed about. And I'm thinking about starting a petition against Ultimate Fighting, but God's just telling me to wait on that. But it's funny, at the end of a good fight, guys are throwing punches, and they start out just boom, 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 boom. And next thing you know, they're like throwing marshmallows that wouldn't hurt you or me or anyone else. It's just they're completely worn out. And at the end of a fight, almost always, if there was one guy that had a burst of energy, they could win. But instead, they're hanging on to each other, falling all over each other. They're punched out. They're done. So often, as we fight the battles that are in our lives, as we see the assault that comes our way, hey, we've already worn ourselves out fighting battles that aren't ours. And as a result, our arms are still up there, and we're still thinking that we're fighting, but we're losing. It's not working. We become completely punched out. That's not how God wants us to live. And so he would say, listen to me, stick with me. When I tell you to throw a punch, you throw it, and it's going to land, and it's going to do some damage, and it will be effective. But it's not about how many punches you throw. It's about your focus. It's about your conserving your strength. It's about your taking instructions from your coach, from me. And so the Lord says, drop your guard right now. This doesn't depend on you. Be still. And remember who I am. Know that I am God. Know that whatever the battles are that are out there, I'm going to win them all. I don't lose. You don't have to defend me. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, I don't need you to protect me. I don't need you to fight on my behalf. I'm not asking you to be my bodyguard. Peter tried that in the Garden of Gethsemane and hacked off Malchus's ear, and Jesus picked it up and stuck it back on him again. Don't hack away when he doesn't tell you to hack away. And don't think that what you need to do is just fight until you drop. No, it's just stick with him. He's going to win. Oh, there are so many times when there are people who say things against God and we get so upset. Or we see things in life that aren't right and it's like, somebody has to speak up for God. Now, he can take care of himself. He can speak up for himself, in fact. And if you're speaking when he's telling you to be still, you're just going to muddy the waters. You're just going to make it a mess. You're going to cause more work for him. He will be having to follow after you and heal people that you hacked to death. And so he says, look, don't worry. I'm going to win this thing. I know how it comes out. I know the outcome. I've already seen it from all of eternity. Somebody emailed me a story this week about a guy that walked into a bar, sat next to this blonde, And I figure it's safe. A lot of the women are gone. I can get away with a blonde joke. But he sits down, and they're watching TV. And there's a guy on TV. It's the 10 o'clock news, and he's threatening to jump off a building. And so this guy says to this blonde next to him, says, "I bet you he'll jump." And the blonde says, "I'll bet you he won't." And he goes, "Okay, 20 bucks. She goes, "Okay, 20 bucks. Right after that, the guy swan dives off the building, crashes down to his death. And she says, "Well, what's fair is fair. Here's the $20. And he said, "No, I can't take your money." She goes, "Why?" He said, "Because I saw this already on the 6 o'clock news, and I knew he jumped." And she said, "Well, I saw it at 6 o'clock too, but I didn't think he'd do it again." That's the way it is with God. He's already seen it. He knows the outcome. He ordains everything. And he goes, "You know what? If you're fighting for me, then drop your hands right now. If you're battling for me, the battle is over. Knock it off. Be still. Shut up. Put your hands down. And let me work. I'll defend myself just fine." And again, the Lord of hosts is with us. He's the God of armies. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God of Jacob, it's interesting that he chose that word. Remember, Jacob's name means sneaky, con man, heel catcher. But he got his name changed after he wrestled with God. And when he finally was defeated by God and surrendered, God said, "You win. That's how you win, is you give up to me." And he said, "I'm changing your name from con man to Israel. I'm doing a new thing in your life." And so we always call the children of Israel the Israelites, because they came forth from Jacob, his sons. But Jacob turned into Israel, turned into one who God was able to control. He was a prince with God. And yet, at the same time, here he's the God of Jacob. See, in your life right now, you're going through tough times. You're struggling. You may be still a little bit more of a con man than somebody who God is ruling over. And yet he goes, "I'm your God. I'm not just the God of Israel. I'm the God of Jacob too." And God may be using the storms in your life to change you from Jacob to Israel. But he goes, "Don't worry, I'm there with you. I'm your refuge. I'm protecting you along the way with everything that I'm doing in your life." He offers us the opportunity as we draw close to him to be in the middle of all around us, problems, things falling apart. And there we are in the eye of the storm, safe with the God who loves us, with the one who died for us. This psalm, Psalm 46, was a favorite psalm of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was back in the 1500s, was a Catholic monk who became disturbed by some of the things that were going on in the Catholic Church. The one that really put him over the top was the selling of indulgences. There was a guy named Tetzel who was going around telling people that if you buy this piece of paper, it will absolve you of certain sins. And so if you do a sin, give money, you're forgiven. Not only that, if you have a friend who's died and you're not sure that they're ever going to get to heaven, pay some money, well, I'll sell you. What do you want? $1,000? They'll be in heaven. And he was running this enterprise, and it was wrong, but it was very successful. And Luther rebelled against that and some other unbiblical practices that were going on in the church that he loved. And finally, October 31st, in 1517, Martin Luther wrote up 95 theses, he called them, 95 objections that he had to things that were going on in the church. And he nailed them to the door there at the church in Wittenberg. He thought God would use it to really help the church turn around. He loved the church. It was not his intention at all to split off from the church or to start his own church, but it didn't go very well. The church turned on him. They ended up excommunicating him. They tried to kill him. They put a death sentence on him. He ended up having to hide in a room and couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. It was during that time that he wrote the German translation of the Bible, because he wanted the common people to be able to understand the word of God. But it got worse, because as Lutheranism grew and people began to tie in with him. Well, as he was talking about the church should be independent from Rome, that the German church should seek the Lord for themselves, that led to a peasant revolt whereby a lot of the people were going, hey, we want independence. And so they started attacking the Catholic churches and killing Catholic people. And Luther didn't want them to do that. He loved these people. They were his brothers in the Lord still. And so when he tried to stop them from doing that, the peasants turned on him. And so Martin Luther, over a period of a few years, from 1517 up until about 1530, his life got really tough because his people that were loyal to him turned on him, and the people that he was loyal to had turned on him, and he really just had a couple of friends, and that was it. And Luther's life was horrible, and it was difficult, and it was tough just because he was trying to do the right thing. But it was during that time that he turned to Psalm 46. And he, reading it over and over, he was so comforted in the fact that even though the earth is removed, even though the waters will overcome us, no matter what is happening, I know God is with me and I know that he will prevail. I know that what he wants to have happen, if he wants to protect me, fine. If he wants me to die, that's fine. And as he found his comfort in Psalm 46, he wrote the hymn that we still, in some parts of the church, sing today. It's called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And he wrote that hymn based on what he read in Psalm 46 as he penned the words, A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ill prevailing. Though, and he talks about, okay, the prince of darkness, Satan, he's trying to wipe us out, but the prince of darkness, grim, he said, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. His doom is sure. One little word will fell him. And he said, Christ Jesus is the one who is ultimately our protection. And he said, though this world with devil fills would threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has will to triumph through us. And then he talked about at the end, let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And as Luther would hear the armies coming to get him, as he heard stories that everyone hated him, he would come to his friend, his best friend, Philip Melanchthon. And they said that often when Melanchthon would bring back reports of all the bad things that were happening and everything that they ought to be afraid of, Luther would say to Melanchthon, he said, my friend, it's time to sing Psalm 46. And they would sit together and sing, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. He will prevail. He will win. And that's the confidence that we can have as well. That's what we can know. Sometimes it just seems like when you're just trying to do the right thing, you're attacked by all sides. And everything around you is going against you. And you think, I can't please anyone. Well, there's only one, an audience of one that you need to please, and that's God. And he is saying, I'll be your refuge. I'll be your strength. I am a very present help when you're in trouble. If you're in trouble, hang on to me. I have waters that you don't know about. I'm promising you, there is a river, there is refreshment, there is a place of peace. It's where I'm taking you. Trust me and be still. Quit throwing punches. Quit thinking that you have to do it. Just be still and know I'm the one who's God and I am going to win. I will be exalted. I'll be exalted in your life. I'll be exalted in the world. I don't need you to do anything. Just stay out of my way. Just be still and watch what I do. You stick with me, we'll win. We will succeed. And that's a promise from our Heavenly Father, the one who has control of all things. And I am so thankful for that promise. If you've never met him personally, today would be a great time to do it. In just a moment as we close, there's a prayer room right through those double doors over there, the first door on the left. Some of you maybe have never come to him because you feel like life's just too rough. And somebody's convinced you that it's a good idea to blame God for all the storms in your life. No, he's the one who can take you to the eye of the storm, to the place of peace. And if you've never given your life to him, today would be a great time to do it. After we close, go on over, ask for some prayer. But there are others of you that are just exhausted, and you're trying to keep your guard up, and you're trying to see if you can get a punch in, and God's just going, drop your hands. Quit struggling. Quit fighting. I'm God. I know what I'm doing. And I know that you somehow think that the last thing you can do is you've got to keep protecting yourself. But maybe God is saying, no, just make yourself vulnerable to me. Give up and you will find out. As you give up, I will come in. This may be the darkest hour, but I show up at dawn. I always do. I'm very, very present. And you're in trouble and I'll help you. I would encourage you, let go. Just quit striving. Don't try to do it yourself. And don't allow fear to cause you to keep doing something that's fruitless just because it's all you know of what you can do. God has a plan for your life. Submit to him today. Quit striving. Quit trying so hard. Look for the river that streams refresh and bring joy. He is there. He is in it. That river, it's him. And as you draw close to him, you'll sense not water drowning you, overwhelming you, but you'll sense water just gushing forth from within you as the Holy Spirit works in your life. Today, if what you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ, get over to the prayer room and do it. But also, if you're exhausted and you've been going through a lot and you'd just like a brother or sister to pray for you right now, there are people over there who would love to share that burden. Lift it off your shoulders and put it on him. I'm telling you, there is a river.
You're listening to The Balanced Word as Pastor Dave Rolf has highlighted a beautiful psalm that serves to help us get through the storms of life with the right perspective. Pastor Dave will be right back. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Now to close our time together in a word of prayer, here's Pastor Dave Rolf once again.
God, storms come and go, but they're all different kinds of storms. And sometimes they just wear us out. God, help us to believe that you are very present in the time of trouble. And help us with our last strength that we have to drop our hands and make ourselves vulnerable to you. Lord, I know there are people in this room right now who are completely ineffective in life because fear dominates everything they do. And they're trying to do what they can do. And Lord, they need to be reminded that you're God and they're not. So God, help us all to trust you, to depend on you, to find, not to get the storm gone, but to find the eye of the storm and to put ourselves there in your loving hands. We thank you for the knowledge that one day all war will cease, all storms will be calmed, as you tell us to be still, and you've told the winds and the wave to be still, the day is going to come when you look at this earth and you go, that's it. That's enough. It's all over. And we look forward to that day when the whole world is dominated by that river that flows for our refreshment and our recreation, our comfort, our enjoyment, as you become all that we need. And we have all of you. So, Lord, we look forward to that day. In the meantime, help us to stick with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Dave. And listening friend, we trust you'll be back with us next time as our study in the Psalms takes us to Psalms 45 through 49. May God richly bless you and encourage you, rain or shine, and continue to look to His balanced word for hope and help. This program is presented by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and knees.